Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to have you with us. Hope you're having a good day. I hope you're able to keep your power on through the evening. As you just heard from Hetty, there is the potential for some power outages to protect against possible wildfires. We'll keep you updated on that throughout the day here at KPCC. Later this hour, do or die for the Dodgers Game 5, the deciding game in their division series with the Washington Nationals. Dodger Stadium, first pitch 5:37 this evening, and we'll bring together the triple play once more. A. Martinez, Nick Roman, and me will be talking about the Dodgers and the challenge that awaits them tonight. First, the ongoing challenge of high-speed rail in California. Ralph Artabedian, who covers high-speed rail for the Los Angeles Times, was able to get a hold of documents which outline how money might be taken from the Central Valley portion of the project and reallocated to Metrolink, where trains could be sped up, could run more frequently, and perhaps twice as many passengers could be served on the link between Burbank and Anaheim. Ralph, good to have you with us again. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Laura. It's great to be back.
Share with us a little bit of the timeline here. When would there have to be a decision made as to whether this money could be freed up for use in Southern California?
The ultimate decision will be with the legislature, and the High Speed Rail Authority next week will receive a briefing, an analysis from some of its consultants on comparing the benefits and costs of keeping the money in the Central Valley versus freeing up some of that money for LA and San Francisco. And then that report will feed into a business plan for next that would be released early next year. Ultimately, the decision on whether to spend the money here or all in the Central Valley will rest with the legislature when they appropriate money from the bond funds. There's an appropriation that will take place, and that's probably where the final decision will occur, and that would probably be next year sometime.
My understanding is this leg of Metrolink between Anaheim and Burbank, one of the challenges is between downtown and Anaheim shares freight lines. Would this be about double tracking some of that to get around some of that congestion?
Yes, there's a plan to add a fourth mainline track through the very congested, gigantic rail yard known as Hobart. You can drive along it on the 710 freeway and just, it's vast. So they would add tracks there, they'd add tracks elsewhere, they'd add sidings and do some improvements on grade crossings so there wouldn't be as many grade crossings, there would be fewer freight delays as well.
And what would be the technology employed in these trains?
Well, that's interesting. I think Metrolink is now committed to a zero-emission vehicle system, but they would not use overhead power lines. They have some idea that there's evolving European technology for batteries that they would consider. And another technology that I've heard about is that's coming online. I don't think it's here yet. Is hydrogen-powered trains.
So that gets around the problem with overhead lines, which I know the freight companies don't like that.
They sure don't, and they own the tracks south of L.A., so they'd have a big vote on that. It interferes with their double stacking of containers, and, you know, a lot of containers come into the port and leave L.A., so there's that consideration.
For the battery-operated trains, what's the potential top speed?
I've heard somewhere around 125 miles an hour. I mean, since this is not a fully separated line, you would be limited in some areas. I know that in other areas, the top speed that is allowed anywhere in the country is around 110. I don't know if that could be accomplished in a dense urban environment, but they're talking about 125. I assume that would be in areas or sections of track that are separated, not that don't have grade crossings.
Does Metrolink have a time estimate for what it would take to do the length of that Burbank to Anaheim run?
The time of the run. Yeah, that's a good question. That's a little unclear to me from their document. I believe that they do. They would go faster than they are now by at least 13 minutes. It would seem as though if they make all these improvements, so there would be room for even better times. But I think they're talking about Anaheim to Burbank in around an hour and 13 minutes.
And beyond laying the additional track you're talking about and dealing with some of the grade crossings which slow down that Metrolink train, are there other significant construction projects that would be part of this?
Well, they would have express tracks from Burbank all the way to downtown L.A. And a key part of this is also this these new tracks in Union Station. Currently, trains have to back up into Union Station, then back out, and that's very time-consuming. So they want to have a what's called a run-through track. The train goes in one end and comes out the other.
So we're talking about years of construction, though. Even if the High-Speed Rail Authority frees up this money for Metrolink, we're looking years down the road.
Well, I think the first phase is 2024, and then the second phase is 2028, roughly. So it's it would start yielding improvements within 4 or 5 years. The full improvement might take another 5 years.
We're talking with Ralph Vartabedian, a Los Angeles Times national correspondent. He's their man covering the high-speed rail project and often the one who breaks the stories by getting a hold of the documents which share some of the upcoming developments. In this case, it's about the proposal to free up some of the funds from the Central Valley and to put that into Metrolink service between Burbank and Anaheim. If you have questions, we're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Also with us is Ara Najarian, who's the mayor of Glendale and a member of the Metro Board and the vice chairman of the Metrolink Board. Mayor Najarian, thank you for being with us. How difficult do you think will it be to convince the High-Speed Rail Authority to free up this money?
Well, first, good morning, Larry and Ralph. I believe that if we put aside biases towards the high-speed rail and Northern California, I think the Southern California segment that we're talking about on its merits will win over any fair analysis of reducing greenhouse gases, of increasing ridership, of taking vehicles off the road. I'm very confident of that. And I just hope that the high-speed rail and perhaps our legislators from Southern California can make that case. Just put the cards on the table. And that's what the high-speed rail asked us to do, was to submit documents detailing our program. And they would be comparing that with high-speed rail Central Valley segment and the segment to the Bay Area. And analyze that, and I'm very confident that in a fair contest, we would come out ahead.
All right. What are the politics, though, you feel that you're up against in Central Valley interests who might not want to see those funds leave?
Well, of course, we start with the governor, who is fairly well committed to the Central Valley segment. We have the fact that they've already started digging up the Central Valley, laying down some of the infrastructure work. It's going to be someone's going to have to swallow some pride to say we're not going to go forward with this. Of course, nothing highlights a failed a bureaucracy more than a half-finished bridge or a half-completed rail line. I think once we get over that, I think there's always the North versus South. I mean, let's be honest about that. Northern California versus Southern California. We're in a perpetual competition, whether it's sports or government funding or anything else. I think those are the challenges that we face. I do have faith, however, in our legislators, Speaker Rendon, President Pro Tem, from San Diego, her name just skipped my mind, of the Senate. We've got a little bit of juice up there, too. So I'm hoping that all of our contingency can come together and make a unified pitch for this funding to be released to Southern California.
We're talking with Ara Najarian, who's the mayor of Glendale, and he serves on two boards, Metro as well as the Metrolink board. He's vice chair of that public body. Also with us is Ralph Bartabedian, Los Angeles Times national correspondent. Ralph, we reached out to the leaders of a number of Central Valley communities to get their thoughts. We haven't heard back from them yet. What's your sense of how they would feel about the diversion?
I think their number one concern is that the existing construction that covers 119 miles be completed, and that the Central Valley doesn't end up torn up and, as Ara said, you know, a half-built bridge. Fresno's pretty torn up right now, and I don't think the Metrolink plan and Rendon's plan is to do that. It's to finish up the 119 miles. And allow it to enter service for Amtrak. But I think the Central Valley concern is, well, we're not sure how much that's going to really end up costing, and we want to make sure that we're not left with a mess on our hands.
Where would the money come from in the Central Valley? Would it be that the train wouldn't be electrified there, or what? How could they make it somewhat usable if not consuming all the money for the project there?
Right. Well, the Governor Newsom's plan that he outlined at the beginning of the year in his State of the State address proposes building an expansion of the 119 miles to go to 170 miles from Merced to Bakersfield. They delete those extensions and not electrify it and have conventional rail links from Merced to Madera, where the high-speed rail infrastructure starts. And they would save about $5 billion on electrification and some very difficult construction by doing that. So they would have a usable 119-mile system that would connect with Amtrak and could be used until someday somebody decides they want to electrify it and finish the job that Governor Brown and Governor Schwarzenegger started.
I would think one of the concerns in the Central Valley, though, is because of their air pollution problems, having diesel trains running instead of electrified trains.
That's right. And you know, it in all seriousness, they have a terrible air quality problem. They have a terrible adolescent asthma problem. But then Metrolink makes the case, well, the corridor from Anaheim to Burbank has 70% of the communities are disadvantaged as well, and the air in L.A. isn't very good either, as we all know.
All right. We have mainly me writes on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Wait, the voters paid for a bullet train. Bullet train is canceled, but we won't refund the payment, but rather just give it out to other projects? Questioning that, let me go back to Ara Najarian, the mayor of Glendale. Your response to our listener saying, you know, if the project's going to be changed that dramatically, go back to the voters.
Well, I'm going to say that we're going to be giving the voters even better value for their money with a blended system. And in Southern California, we're ready to go. We've got our SCORE plan, which is what Ralph was talking about. The plans are ready to go, and it is going to be an even better use of the public money than committing it to a high-speed rail that is facing some challenges and that may never get completed as envisioned initially.
Michael writes on the page, good for the folks at Metrolink to try and make some value out of the boondoggle called high-speed rail. Frankly, it's time to cut our losses and kill the Central Valley work. This will someday be known as Jerry Brown's folly and one of the worst outcomes ever from our state proposition process. Karen in View Park says, I voted for high-speed rail for a faster connection between Northern and Southern California. I did not in any way give my vote to regional commuting traffic. These are two different issues, and the funding for the state should not be used regionally. That's Karen in View Park sharing her perspective. Ralph, good to have you with us again. Thanks very much for your reporting and coming on, being willing to talk about it with our listeners. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Larry. I appreciate it.
Ralph Artabadian, Los Angeles Times national correspondent, and also our thanks to the mayor of Glendale, Ara Najarian, member of the Metro Board, and the vice chair of the Metrolink Board. You can share your comments about the potential diversion of the high-speed rail funds from the Central Valley to Southern California's Metrolink on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Coming up on AirTalk, we'll take a look at yesterday's big U.S. Supreme Court cases focused on LGBTQ rights. We'll be back in 1 minute.